The information, the robust information that is coming out in the field is patients who are high-risk myeloma patients, patients who have 414 translocation, cytogenetically detected chromosome 13 deletion, 14-16 translocations, or 17p13 deletion. These kind of patients have been shown to have poor outcome when they were managed with traditional chemotherapy and simple autologous transplantation. But whenever you introduce bortezomib in this mix, the outcome dramatically improves. This was true for MPV regimen, and it was true for bortezomib dexamethasone induction regimen as looked at by the IFM. So every time we look at it, that bortezomib-based regimen seemingly overcomes the poor prognosis which was shown by these translocation and deletion chromosome 13 by cytogenetics, etc. So in these high-risk population, more and more physicians will choose bortezomib-based regimen for these patients. Now, patients who have good prognosis and have normal renal function and have no other comorbidities, patients may prefer oral regimen such as lenalidomide and dexamethasone, and that may be well-tolerated and that may be a good approach. Patients who have renal impairment or have other comorbidities which would increase the risk for deep venous thrombosis, etc., they may again prefer bortezomib-based regimen because thrombosis is much lower or minimal with bortezomib-based regimen. So I think now the physician have a choice. Before, Mayo Clinic had put out on their website, etc., MM Smart, saying that high-risk patients should get bortezomib, low-risk patients should get lenalidomide. I think that is also going to be questioned because if the patient start on bortezomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, now you don't have to worry about whether the patient is poor prognosis or good prognosis. The most important question in my mind is that if you look historically in myeloma, we had only standard chemotherapy up until 1990s. So whether you gave all the drugs together or you give them sequentially, the ultimate outcome was the same. Then came high-dose therapy and stem cell transplantation. Then you looked at it, and if no other progress was made, if you give high-dose therapy and stem cell transplantation early or late, as long as it was incorporated, the patient lived the same length of time. Then came thalidomide. And the physicians at University of Arkansas, Bart Bologhi, incorporated thalidomide upfront in Toll Therapy 2 and randomized to another group of patients where thalidomide was only made available if they relapsed. It turns out the ultimate survival was the same as long as the patients had access to thalidomide, either at the time of diagnosis or later on. So now the question comes, if you start using all three or four drugs together upfront, what would happen if they relapse? If no new drugs comes in, then the survival advantage may not be different if somebody didn't incorporate them all up front versus somebody who incorporates them all up front. But the pipeline of new drug development is fairly robust. So this ASH meeting, from that point of view, there was a whole session dedicated to new drugs, promising drugs in the pipeline.